Today is November 25th, 2015.
You will need your COVIDs. You're going to need the Toaster Rush. You will need the official Muggenheim volleyball rules, which I did not photocopy for you. You will need the official Muggenheim volleyball rules, which I did not photocopy for you, which were the original rules in Marisha Kola also, by the way. Because I wrote them. Yeah, those rules all existed, but I did not add in. I had no attempt to try to make it sound. I didn't do that. I didn't have to prove I was from trying to sound from. I was from Reddit. All right? Hashem made that not come through on the mic. Thank you, Hashem. This is not for today. I know Kozla wanted, but it's not ready yet. This is not for today. No, I have to go over it first. What? I don't write that way. I don't have to prove that I'm religious by writing religiously. As I tell Rabbi Schiller, I can refer to my class as my class. I don't have to refer to it as a shir. The only thing I insist on is that I'm a rabbi, not a teacher. But I don't have to call this a yeshiva, I can call it a school. These things to me are meaningless. Trying to create a culture, the culture comes through the learning. Ezra Hashem. I shouldn't say meaningless, but okay. Tosfos. Okay, so today is November 25th, correct? And Tosfos yesterday began. So let's make today a good day. It is the last day of the school year. As Rabbi Kerner always used to say, yeshiva starts the day after Sukkot and ends on Thanksgiving. Not really the yahrzeit for a grandmother, but I told him that I told some people in the class that's why he davened today. Okay. Tosfos, like Rabbeinu Yonah said, was medayik in the word of Rabbi Chanina, Umatam Omru Dine Mominus Lobiina Drish Vakira. It doesn't say Matam Omru Dine Hodos Valvos, don't need Drish Vakira, but rather Dine Mominus. From there we learn that this idea that we don't use Drish Vakira is not only confined to Hodos Valvos, but it applies to many other possible categories. And therefore, when the Gzera is made, Kadesh Lutinal Delis, Bifne Lovin, Zakon is made, for that reason, it's not specific to that particular din of loans. It has to be broader, expanded to all types of monetary things, such as ksubas isha, gzeilus chavalos, etc., etc. Because what Rabbi Chanina mentions is only a simon of a much broader category, one that can operate through the power that. Once Tosfos has discovered this within Rabbi Chanina and believes that it's true, he then has the right to ask a question predicated on this, which he takes as a fact, that there's a concept of tinol deles bifnei gazlonin that allows Chazal to believe that it's important to remove drish v'chakira from the beis din. Because if there is Drish V'Chakira, that encourages Gazlonim to try to do Ovel, to do twisted injustices. And to discourage them, Chazal wanted, again through the power of Hefker based in Hefker, that's the mechanism used, but the motivation they had was Shatinol Zelos Bifnei Gazlonim, to discourage the Gazlonim from stealing, because it'll be easier to catch them if there's no Drish V'Chakira. As the Ran said, if I have Drish V'Chakira, there won't be one Gazlin caught in 70 years. Fractosvis Vim Tomer. May high timer from that very reason. Loni boy mumchen begzeros chavolos. We should not require mumchen begzeros chavolos, which is very schwer, very difficult, going to Rabbi Avo. Rabbi Avo says the Mishnah is giving us a chilik between gzeros chavolos and hodos vavos gufa in terms of mumchen. You need mumchen begzeros chavolos, you do not need mumchen hodos vavos. However, says Tosvis, if we are correct that there's a tinel delz b'fnei gazlonim concept that should remove drisha chakira, it should likewise remove the need for mumchen. Because as long as there are mumchen, which you have to be matriach yourself to go after, Rashi said and the Ran said, the gazlon will think they'll never find mumchen. They're never going to find mumchen. I'm going to get away with this. I'm going to steal it. I'm going to get away with it. So perhaps, by removing mumchen from the picture, you can go to any three hediotos, gazlonim will they won't steal as often. They'll be deterred, that's the word I'm looking for, SAT word, they'll be deterred from stealing. So v'im tomer mehai taima loni boi mumchen v'gzeros chavolos kamo, just like loni boi mumchen v'gzeros kamo behodos v'avos, just like behodos v'avos, we don't have mumchen. In order to make sure that people will lend money and not be scared off by the fact that you have to find mumchen to get back a loan, so too, this will scare off the gazlonim. Because they'll know you don't have to go to mumchen in order to get the money out of the gazlonim. You can go to hediotos. Didn't make that takona as well. That's the kasha of Tosfos. V'yesh lomar, Tosfos answers, to legabi mumchen lo shayich lemechash bei kemo zeh. A very strange phrase. Relative to mumchen, it's not possible to worry bei kemo zeh. What is bay referring to? I used the word before, so now you know the word antecedent. What's the antecedent to the word bay? What's bay referring to? And what's zeh referring to? Did you look in the Tosa Rosh? Is what? It's not possible to be worried bay in it. Kamo zeh, and zeh is referring to? To hodos volvos. It's good. If you look at the Tosa Rosh, I think you're right. If you look at the Tosa Rosh, he helps a drop only because the language is much cleaner. The Tosa Rosh doesn't confuse us with beis and zez, which are different words, which would refer to different things. He says, "V'yesh lomar d'legabi mumchen lo shayach lemechash bezeh kemo bezeh." Does that help? Not enough. But it may, the words are definitely more readable. I think you're right. He's saying a chilek between Gzeros v'chavolos and Hodos v'alvos. That's what it sounds like. Lo shayach l'meichash b'zeh by Gzeros v'chavolos relative to mumchen. We have to make a chilek between. That's what Tosfos is asking about. How come? Why isn't the same din? Gzeros v'chavolos kamo b'hodos v'alvos. It says Tosfos will split them. L'gabi mumchen lo shayach l'meichash by Gzeros v'chavolos kamo, as we are meichash, and we make a takana to remove the need for mumchen to allow hediotos bezeh by hodos volvos. Okay? So I think you're right. That's the split he's making. It's clear from the question leading into the answer. The question was, these things are this kamo this. So the answer has to be, this is not kamo that. So again, v'yesh lomar d'legabi mumchen lo shayach l'meichash. It's not possible to worry bey or bezeh by gzeros v'chavolos. We have a takana by hodos v'avos from mumchen that you don't need them. We do not have such a thing by gzeros v'avos. Why? The b'chshosha mu'etes, because due to a slight chshash, worry, odom nimna milahalvos l'chaveru, a person will refrain, will hold back from lending to his friend, he's worried he'll never see his mullah again. In lo yimtzu dayonim zumonim, if he cannot find dayonim readily available, ligvos chovo, to collect his loan. Avo gzeros chavolos, when it comes to gzeros chavolos, which of course is not up to me if I'm going to get stolen from, yodea hagazlan, the gazlan knows, sheyatshriach hanigzol acha hamunchen, that the one who was robbed will be matshriach to find mumchen. He wants his money back. Ad sheyimtzo lodin im hagazlan, till he's able to go to court with the gazlan. Therefore, okay, so, well, again, what's the split that Tosis makes between these two cases, and then explain to me, so therefore, how it answers the question. Yes, Ellie?
By the way, for those of those, you could choose, like, if you want a loan or not, and you're not, like, if you have to go to Mumchen to get your money back, you're just not going to loan at all. However, by
therefore?
Therefore, like, if you need to go to Mumchen, you're just not going to loan, because you're going to stop that process before of going to Mumchen.
Therefore?
You're going to have to go to Mumchen. Therefore, it's different than by the sales.
Not therefore, it's different. Therefore, what should be the halacha? What is the halacha?
The halacha is you don't need Mumchen.
Therefore, the Chachamim made a takana that you don't require mumchen. Okay. On the other hand, by gzeiros chavolos,
it's not your choice that you're going to that you get your money stolen from you.
Right.
Once you get your money stolen from you, you want it back. Therefore, you are going to trouble yourself to go through mumchen.
And therefore.
And therefore, the halacha is you do need mumchen.
Therefore, the Chachamim did not make a takana
that you could go to Yoga.
Because you will go to Mumchen. Because you're going to find the Mumchen anyway. So, Tosfos seems to be inventing a factor here that we shouldn't be so nervous about the Gazla get away with it, because the Gazlan thinks that he won't get away with it. The people who were robbed will find those mumchen, will bring him to court, and he won't get away with it. Therefore, we don't need to make a takana to help such a person. We need to ask. Yes. Okay, are we going to make a takana just for the cases where a person steals $5? We're making a takana because there are times that people steal millions of dollars. Nevertheless, we're not going to make the takana because those couple times that it's a few dollars anyway, you'll be mochel anyway, so why should we protect you? If you already have the attitude that you're not going to go running after mumchen, why should we make a takana for you? Yes? We have to make a takana for that. Okay, yes? I don't understand. What do you mean?
Originally, we did need Mumchen and Rishon Lezion, but then Chacham made a takana to make it easier by having all those.
Right. So Tosfos asks, why don't we say that also by Gzeiros Chavolos?
It's not super necessary. We should try to keep it as
okay, that is part of Tosfos' answer. Okay, that's true. That is true. What was Tosfos' mechadish in this answer that we didn't know before? Good, you fell right into my trap. Excellent. So the first thing that I also thought, which is what the words of Tosfos seem to be aiming at first blush, Tosfos let us know that when a person gets robbed, he will run to find Mumchen. When Tosfos originally asked his question, he thought that people would not run after those Mumchen. Let's just get this straight here. When Tosfos asked the question, he thought to himself, you know, just like by Hodos Volvos, I'm not going to lend the money because it's hard to find Mumchen. So too by Gzels Chavolos, let's say that we don't need Mumchen, because if we require Mumchen, the Gazwanim will all steal because it's hard to find Mumchen. V'yesh Lomer, it's not so hard to find Mumchen, because the people, once they're robbed, they're going to do everything they can to find those Mumchen. They're going to get those Mumchen. Again, Tosfos Havamina didn't think so. But people changed from Tosfos Havamina to Tosfos Maskona. When we have a Machlokas Rishonim, for example, Your arm's going to get tired, so I'll take your questions, but give me a few minutes, okay? When we have a Machlokas Rishonim, which we've had many of already this year, we have a general rule. You can't have a Machlokas Rishonim about whether this Sefer is brown or black. Either it's brown or it's black. One cannot have a machlokas about the facts. You can't, it doesn't make sense that Rishonim would debate whether this is blue or this is red, or whether this is blue or this is green. One of my rabbis used to refer to this as the 11th commandment. Thou shalt not have a machlokas in Metzias. You can't have a machlokas about something which is a fact. Just check the facts. A corollary of the 11th commandment is you can't have a change from a havamina to a maskona where there was a group of Rishonim that had a kasha predicated upon a fact. V'yesh lomar, you have the facts wrong. That can't be. When the Rishonim asked that question, they knew all the facts. Assumption that v'yesh lomar, we need to be mechadish, a different halachic set of axioms, priorities, to answer the question. But it can't just be the imtomar. How come the person slid into second base and he was tagged, he was out, the ishlomar, he was safe? Such a change, as we've said previously, from a havamina to maskana, is very hard to do. We even had in Tosfos, if you recall, in Bezim and Bezim, Tosfos and Maskel Divya Kol, where they wanted to discuss whether the change from the Havamina to the Maskana could be. In the Havamina we hold, there's no Mishmerechot, right? In the Maskana, yeah, there is Mishmerechot. It says, we don't want to change so much. The Havamina understood certain premises. You're going to change that much? And say the Maskana says, oh, no, Mishmerechot could do it. We don't like to have, it's not mistaber, it doesn't make sense to change that much from a havamina to a maskana. We always want to minimize a machlokas. We always want to minimize a change. The reason why it's mistaber, it makes most sense that way. You have to realize it all came from one source. Originally, when Hashem gave the Torah to Moshe Rabbeinu, there were no machlokasim. I know we're Jewish, it's hard to imagine. But there were no machlokasim. It's only that over time, and it's hard to explain exactly how Machloksim came to be, but over time, as different Talmidei Chachamim listened to their Rabbeim, and with as much Havana, with as much Yerushimayim, with as much Anivus as they had, each one had an interpretation of what the Rebbe said, and they somehow diverged. They somehow were slightly different. got to be very close. They're both coming from the original source. So a machlokas and metzias is something which is a violation of the 11th commandment. This was stated by Rabbi Yehuda Parnas. Thou shalt not have a machlokas and metzias. A corollary of that, again, is you cannot have a change from a havim into maskana that's that big. I didn't hand out this maramakum. These are the official Magen Av volleyball rules. I still have a copy. They're hanging somewhere in Marisha Kola, but then somebody like yeshivished them up or something. I don't know what they did. They start putting in all these funny lines. At one point in time, this is actually after hockey and after chess. So we were still playing volleyball, but that was like once a week type of thing, only during the summer. It wasn't a big deal. And I didn't tell you, see, I had a good jump, which I discovered while playing hockey, that I was able to dunk. I had no idea. We played hockey in a gym that had these basketball hoops. I had no idea. I never played basketball, really. So I just took a hockey ball, and I went like, oh my gosh, and like the rim was like here. So I said, this is crazy. What is this? Is this thing 10 feet high? And I checked, and it was. So I said, there's something interesting going on here. I never went to play basketball. Me, before Avraham Chaim Heller played against other teams, so I used to go out to the field, and then the guys would alley-oop it to me, and I would dunk it. And I'm not so tall. And then Rabbi Bienenfeld would go to the other team and say, like, this guy didn't even make the team. Like, you know, he didn't even make the team. So anyway, I'm not a good player. But it was funny. So it was good for volleyball. And Rabbi Pearl was one of my main opponents in those years. You might remember this. So years after that was all over, so they asked me to draw up rules. Because since if people know that you're a good player, they somehow think you also know the rules. It's not true, but people think you know the rules because you're a good player, right? The truth is, if you're a good player, you know how to get around the rules. Anyway, that's a different story. So I wrote up these rules. So I don't have to read to you all the rules, but I could tell you that over and over in the rules, it said the following line, that things like the line is in. Anywhere on the asphalt is in. Decisions about this are given to the line judges and finalized by the head judge. I was always the head judge. Then it says, a timeout has to be registered by the head judge. Excessive timeouts by any team can be disregarded by the head judge at his discretion. I kept writing again and again, at his discretion. And we went through line after line, interference at the discretion of the head judge. Interference by going over the line will be deemed illegal and cause a loss of volley at the discretion of the head judge. And again and again, the rules said, at the discretion of the head judge, at the discretion of the head judge. But then, and of course, rule number 14, the last rule was, all decisions of the head judge are final. I mean, you know, the ego got to me. But anyway, that was what we had to do. You had to make sure somebody has the final say. I just want to read to you rule 13. This is a very important rule. Any time that the head judge needs to make up a rule in order to defend his decision, he may do so at his discretion. This is like, hello, I am the Ribbono Shel Olam here, and if I can't make it work out, I'll make up a new rule. If you were ever at a ball game that they had this thing called You Make the Call, have you ever seen this thing? They used to have this many years ago. They would show some play, and then they have this umpire who would like turn around and face you and you make the call, okay? So you saw this thing happen, and then they would ask the people in the stadium, what do you think? Is he out? Is he safe? And then, what? I don't know if it was necessarily even for that team. They would ask you, and then a few minutes later, they would tell you what the umpire decided. With all those things, you make the call. There was no chiddush that the umpire ever had to do. He just had to know the rule books very clear. And if he knew the rule book very clear, he applied rule number 672.34a, and that paskened his shiloh. There was no chiddushim involved. Rule number 13 over here was a complete 200. Rule number 13 is, if there is no rule to explain what the decision of the head judge was, you can make up a rule. So, when you have rule number 13, you can understand, there was a real havamina. No one knew what to do. And we're mechadish a new rule. As opposed to when you make the call, I can't believe you guys never saw such a thing. Google it, you'll see, you make the call. You make the call. They're very interesting. They're interesting questions. It's an interesting question, but there's no real havamina in maskana. Because it's just that you don't know all the rules because you didn't train as an umpire. But the umpire knows all the rules. There's no real havamina, there's no real kasha. When we're dealing with the Tosfos, the belief that we have is, based on the way that the Tosfos have been learned for hundreds of years, that when Tosfos asked the question, there was a real havamina. He really made sense and had a question that was real. The Yesh Lomar, Tosfos has to be mechadish something that he never thought of before, that now that you have this concept, we have a real answer. I'll give you another example. Tosfos has a kasha, and Tosfos says, V'yesh lomar, it's a gemara and davov. 1 second. Tosfos Havamina didn't know the gemara and davov. That's like, V'yim tomar, I have a kasha, and then, you know, just, davov, we'll just, you know, keep our hand over it. There, davov. V'yesh lomar, oh! It's davov! Tosfos doesn't work that way. You and I might work that way because we don't know davov. But the assumption is when the Rishonim were learning and they asked their questions, they had the whole Shas clear in front of them. And the Havamina must have had some simple understanding of davov. The Yesh Lomar, a deeper understanding of what was going on in davov, answers the question. But there has to really be a Havamina Maskana. In fact, the story is, I could show you this in print, but I was standing ready at the bus stop when I remembered that I have this in print, and if I ran back to my house, I would have missed the bus. There was a boy who came to the Chavetz Chaim and asked the Chavetz Chaim, what am I supposed to do when I'm learning? How do I learn? What do I do? And the Chavetz Chaim said to him one thing. He said, you have to always try to understand, like the Gemara often asks, midkarile maikarile. That means when the Gemara originally said it, what were they thinking? In contemporary language, that means what's the Havamina? And when you get to the Maskana, you have to ask, and what does the Maskana mean to say? The way the Chavetz Chaim said it was, the Gemara often says, Pshita, Maika Mashmalon. It's Pashut. What are you teaching me? In this Tosfos, I can ask the question either way. It's the same question. I can ask, V'im Tomer, V'yesh Lomer, what was Tosfos Havamina thinking? He didn't know this Mitzias, this fact, that people are going to run, the guys who were robbed, they're going to run and find Mumchen? Or you can ask the question, Pshita, Maika Mashmalon. It's Pashut. What is V'yesh Lomar teaching me? The reason why I point out it's the same question is because I once had a Rebbe, I'm still, I can't say close with him, I just saw him recently, I thanked him very, very much. I had this Rebbe for 5 summers in a row. We skipped 1 summer, five summers. Tremendous Rebbe, a Talmud of Moshe Feinstein, and really a very, very Lebedik, and during the summer it was hard, I was a staff member, guys were half asleep or more than half asleep during shiur. He was very, very Lebedik, learned a lot from him, and what's the Havamina? He said, let's work on the Maskana. So I changed gears and I asked him all the time, so what's the Chiddush of the Maskana? It's the same question. Pshita, Maika Mashmalon, what's the Chiddush? I said, you don't have to worry about Havamina, it's fine if that's your style, you don't care what the Havamina is. I want to clarify what's the Havamina and what's the Maskana. What changed from the Havamina to the Maskana? Just, what's the Chiddush? Because as soon as you tell me what's the Chiddush, that means originally we didn't know this, the Chiddush is we know this. Oh, thank you, you helped me now, I understand the Havamina and the Maskana. So sometimes you have to know people's styles and what language they're familiar with or willing to accommodate, but it's the same question. When this boy came to the Chavetz Chaim, the Masorah I have is from 2 different sources for the same response, the Chavetz Chaim, similar response that the Chavetz Chaim said. The Chavetz Chaim said like this. He took 2 Sfarim, and he put one next to the other. He said, look, this Sefer is very big, this Sefer is a little smaller. And he said, this big Sefer represents the Havamina. The smaller Sefer represents the Maskana. And then, he would run his finger, I don't know how he did it, he would run his finger along the side over here and say, that's where all of learning lies. That's a pretty big statement. All of learning lies. The difference between the Havamina and the Maskana. Wow. There's another version of that. I have this also Masorah from a different source that he put one Sefer on top of the other. And he said, but the same idea. Same idea. He said, here's the Havamina, and after we cut away certain things, we're left with the Maskana. There is a Nafkamina between Tzum and Shalom, but without getting into that Nafkamina, I'll explain to you this because my wife draws very nicely. Isn't that nice? I wrote the words down here. I have a good handwriting, but this was a very difficult thing for me to draw, so my wife drew it for me. The Havamina, welcome to the Havamina, and welcome to the Maskona. This means as follows, and this may not apply to every single time that we're doing everything, but this is the idea. There's certain things that change from the Havamina to the Maskona. Certain things that don't change but remain the same. The Metzias has to remain the same. Metzias does not change from the Havamina to the Maskona. If there's a Metzias effect that people run to find Munchen, it's true in the Havamina, it's true in the Maskona. So we still need to determine, getting back to our Tosfos, after all my propaganda, we need to determine what changed from the Havamina to the Maskona. And what remained the same? We've determined one thing that really remained the same. You all agree, I hope, that what remained the people running after Munchen in order to get their money back. That's going to happen. The Havamina held that too. Tosfos was not mechadesh that in his Maskona. So I ask you, what else, thank you Ellie for falling into my trap, but I fell into the same trap. What else can it be that Tosfos is telling us changed from the Havamina to the Maskona, that he was mechadesh in his Maskona? Yes. Let's see if you fall into my second trap. Let's try. Go ahead. I have two. Hunger Games, you can have more than two. Yeah, go ahead.
There is a misconception is just that, like, if, since someone doesn't want to go to Munchen, he'll never go to Munchen. The Maskana is that someone won't want to put themselves into a position in which they'll have to go to Munchen.
But again, what are you doing? Like, let's go ask people. What would you do? Let's take a poll of a million people. What would you do? What would you do? Would you go to Munchen or you not go to Munchen? That's a Metzias. That's determinable.
I wouldn't lend someone money so that I might have to go to Munchen.
Oh, so Havamina thought you would lend money even though you're going to have to go run after Munchen? Again, you're changing in Metzias. The Havamina thought people will not run to Munchen. The Maskana is they will run to Munchen. The people won't lend because they're afraid of running to Munchen. Maskana's people will lend because they know they're going to run to Munchen. Again, we're not talking about lending. We're talking about stealing.
No.
Stealing. What changes in terms of the Gazlonim?
Someone putting themselves in a position in which their stuff is going to be stolen, they're going to have to go to Munchen.
No one's putting themselves in a position to get stolen. No one wants their thing stolen. The question is, when somebody steals from me, am I going to go to Munchen? I will! And Tosfos HaHavamina knew that also. So how come he comes up this Maskana? No, don't worry, we don't make a Tekana over here. Everyone's going to go to Munchen. I knew that already. I knew that in the Havamina. Yeah?
I don't exactly know
Okay, what you're saying is a good factor. It's a good factor what you're saying, that this is something in a person's mind, in a person's decision. But still, even the way you're saying it, still, that factor is there. But keep in mind what you said. I'm going to try to incorporate that into the answer. I'm going to try to incorporate what you said, because it's not bad. Yes?
Maybe
it doesn't say that. You know, it's not the words that we're dealing with different types of Munchen. Havamina, they only go to certain types, must go to different types. It doesn't say that. I think the second step that people think about, this is not my final answer, they concentrate on the words Yodea HaGazlin, which falls into the same trap. But the next thing people usually try to think of is, well, it's not what people do, everyone's going to go running to the Munchen, but will the Gazlin realize that? Does the Gazlin realize that people are going to go to Munchen? It still would end up being a Metzias. The Havamina, the Gazlin didn't realize people were going to go to Munchen. He wasn't thinking. The Maskana, he does realize. You know, before he starts to steal, he starts thinking about all the steps. He has the whole assembly line straight. If I steal, so they get me to Beis Din, will they get me to Beis Din? Will they be able to find Munchen? Does the Gazlan think that through? Again, that's hard to change from the Havmir to the Maskana. The Havmir and the Gazlanim are stupid. And the Maskana is the Yodea HaGazlan that they're going to find Mulchin. So even if you try that second step, shifting it to Yodea HaGazlan, that the Chiddush is, the Gazlan realizes that people will go to Mulchin. And the Havmir didn't think that the Gazlan realized that people will go to Mulchin also is a change of Metzius. Also not something that settles my stomach very well. So we'd rather say something else. Yes? Definitely possible. Hold on to that thought. Okay? That's a good possibility. I'm not going to go with that first, but I will go along those lines. Yes? Us being who? Who's us? The Rabbanon. Good. Let me start with that. Then I'm going to get to what you said. Take a look in Tosfos. V'yesh lomar. The legabim mumchin lo shayach lemechash bei kemoze. What does lemechash mean? Worry. Let's read one more line. The b'chashasha mu'etes odom nimna lehavos. What does chashasha mean? Worry. Who, what? Means chashash. Very good. Worry, suspicion, right? Who is the one worried in the word dibichshasha? Dibichshasha mu'etes adam nimna milhamo. Chashasha mu'etes adam nimna milhavos is talking about the lenders. The lenders, the malvis. Hi.
Hi.
Sorry. In Tosfos, b'chashasha mu'etes adam nimna milahavos l'chaverim lo yimtza dayanim zuman l'gavos chovo. The word b'chashasha is referring to who? Who is being chashasha? Who's having this chashasha mu'etes? The malve, the loners. Go one line above in Tosfos. Lo shayich lemechash. V'yeshloma de legabi mumchen lo shayich lemechash bei kamo zeh. Who is lemechash referring to? No, the rabbis. The rabbonim. Chazal. De legabi mumchen lo shayich lemechash. By mumchen, we don't, it's not shayich to worry and therefore make a takana by gzeros chavolos to remove mumchen, as it is by the doros vavolos. The change from the havamina and the maskana is going to be about whether the chachomim determine should we be mechash and make a takana, or should we not be mechash. The facts are all going to remain the same as to what people do when they get robbed, and as to how Gazlonim think before they rob. All that's going to change is, halachically, will the Chachamim make a takana? Is there enough of a reason to make a takana? Shayich l'mechash, that there's a problem with the Gazlonim stealing, we're encouraging them and discouraging them by having mumchen or not having mumchen, or not shayich l'mechash? Not done. I'm going to express this in two different ways. Often, people use an approach which is called percentages to explain this type of thing. That's not my own invention. I'll tell you my own invention, which is within that, only because it helped me understand it. We have a pasuk, where is this pasuk? She'el avicha v'yagedcha. Where is that? Hazinu? I think so. What does that pasuk mean? She'el avicha v'yagedcha? So if you look in the Gemara in various places, they give different reasons for what gives the Chachamim power to make Takonis. Generally we understand the power that's given the Chachamim to make Takonis is based on which pasuk? No. No? That's the Yevkovit. Actually the pasuk that teaches us that the Chachamim can make Takonis. You cannot deviate from what the Chachamim say, Yemin or small, to the right or to the left. They make takanas. However, in that context of those sugyas, this pasuk is like bandied around and then like almost forgotten about. So I determined over the years, this is my understanding, you know, sometimes the chachamim do make takanas, they don't. One of the rules you all know is called milsa de la tshicha, milsa de lo shchicha, lo gazru ba rabbanan. Have you ever heard of that? It could be. Because I'm not about Curry, I don't know. It could be. You heard this phrase? Rabbis don't make takanas that are not common. Why not? Why should they? Sometimes there can be an issue that's common, but they're still not going to make a takana. Why? Because that's such a serious problem. There are things that are problems that are serious problems. There are things that are problems that are not so serious problems. So I understood this based on this pasuk. When there's a she'ela, there's a question begging to be asked, there's a problem, then you have she'ela v'yichud v'yagercha. They're going to be the agercha. They're going to tell you what to do. They're going to give you a takana if there's a problem that's begging to be asked. The chachamim only make their takanas when there's a real problem. Okay, so what's behind the tzakana, you could say the mechanism of tzakanas could be losasur, but there's this guiding rule that they have, when they're going to make a tzakana, when they're not, based on she'ela, what's the pasuk? I don't know what it is. When the question is begging to be asked, there's a real chash, there's a real problem, we make a tzakana. If it's not a real problem, we're not going to make a tzakana. Okay, good. How much is a real problem? How much of a problem is a problem that it's a real problem, they decide to make it a kana? Guess what? That's the type of thing that can change from a half a minute to a maskana. That's the type of thing that a Tosfos can say, listen, there are general rules, and along the lines of the general rules, let's say, making up a number, not completely made up, that 10% of a problem is a problem. What's the issue over here? Let me go to the other side of the board. I don't know what this said over here. Kim Chayenu, that's true. Listen, this is where what Ezra said is helpful. We have two opposing forces that's going on in the minds of the people who are being robbed. One force is, it's hard to find mumchen. It's hard. It's hard to find mumchen. It's my money. It's my money, and I'm finding mumchen. It's going to happen. I'm finding mumchen. We have this Goslin here who's thinking to himself, I'm about to steal this. Am I going to get caught? Am I going to get in trouble? I know that there are these two opposing forces. It's hard to find mumchen, and the people are going to try to do everything they can to find mumchen. Every person's going to have that going on in their head. You call it the lazy factor? Somebody said that also. I don't think the Tosfos is saying in absolute 100% that every single person is going to go and find that mumcha. The Goslin thinks to himself, he knows, that there's a lot of people who are going to go find that mumcha. He also knows there's some people who it's just not going to happen. Maybe it's a case like Aryeh said, it's only $5. To this person who's rich, $100,000 is only $5. Every time you approach all the cases in the world, everyone in the world, they're not all going to say the exact same thing. But there's a very good chance, call it 90% chance, I'm just making up a number, 90% chance that these people are going to look for mumchen. But there are those people who will not. Maybe 10%. Because there is that factor of it's hard to find mumchen. People are in a quandary. What will they do? The Goslin is in a quandary. Should I still? Should I not? I know that these two ideas are going on in people's heads. Yeah, in the end, I know, chances are, 90% chance, I'm going to get caught. These people are going to go to mumchen. The mumchen are going to force me to court, and that's the end of me. But it's a chance. So the Chum now have to determine, do we make a takana and remove mumchen so that way we remove the entire problem and it's 100% that the gods will be caught as a deterrent to his stealing? Do we need to worry about those 10% of people that may not come? Do we worry about the 10% of people who will not find Mumchen? No. In Tosas Havamina, we should make a takana. We should make a takana even for such a small percentage of people who will lose due to the gazlin stealing. We should make a takana and remove mumchim. Says Tosis Maskana, it must be that according to which Amora who we're talking about here? Rabbi Avo. The Havmin is saying just based on logic, if this is that, Vyeshloma, it must be that Rabbi Avo who thinks that when it comes to this chash, lo shayich lemechash, for such a percentage, maybe for 20%, maybe we wouldn't make such a takana. But lo shayich lemechash, says Tosis, Vyeshloma, lo shayich lemechash bezeh kemo bezeh. When it comes to the case of those valvos, we're going to be mechash, because a lot of people are not going to lend money if we still continue to have mumchen required. But for that same mitzias that exists in the Havin and Maskana, same percentage of people are going to think this way or that way. Same percentage of people, everyone's going to have this thing going on in their head. Every gazel is going to be worried about this going on in people's heads. And the same percentage in the Havin, maybe 10% is too exaggerated. 1%, 0.0001% is the mitzias, both in the Havin and Maskana, of people who will not go running to Mumchen. So the Havin thought, well, we have to make it to Kana, we got to protect them. Maskara says, no, lo shayich lemechash. We're not going to worry. Rabbi Avo, clearly, is not worried about such a small percentage. He does not hold that the Chachamim would make a takana to protect such a small number of people. She'elo v'chol yagercha, it's not a she'elo. This is not begging to me. It's not such a big problem. Therefore, there would be no takana. And therefore, there would continue to be mumchen. The Havmina asked based on the standard practices, if there's 10%, I'm making up the number, but if there's if there's a 10% possibility, we gotta worry about it. The Yishlama, Rabbi Avo, clearly does not. Rabbi Avo feels that even though that's the standard, that's the way Rabbi Avo learned the Mishnah. We have to say, that's what Rabbi Avo thought. The Havmina is saying, isn't Rabbi Avo like everybody else? Doesn't this all mess up Rabbi Avo? The Yishlama, this is what Rabbi Avo thought. It's not possible to be choshesh for such a small percentage and therefore make a takana to remove mumchen from the case. And that's a simple way of dealing with a lot of times when we have questions that seem to be machlokas and metzias. For example, I gave you this question. Here's a machlokas and metzias. No one's going to argue that the color of this is red. But if we have something that's somewhere in between... What color is my hair? Is it red? Is it brown? Isn't there a certain percentage that's reddish? A certain percentage that's brownish? True, right? It's somewhere in between. Where you can see that one tana will say, that qualifies as red. You know why? Because when it's 55% red and 45% brown, I define that as red. No, 55% red is not red. It's got to be at least 65% red for us to call that red. My dictionary definition of red is 65 parts out of 100 red. So the one says, no, it's 55% red. That you can have machlokas. It's not machlokas metzias. The metzias is agreed upon by everyone. It's machlokas of where do you draw the line. That's called percentages. Where do you draw the line? How much of this or how much of that? And then you could also have as a corollary of that, changing from the Havmina to the Maskana. You have the Havmina thought, we draw the line here. Make it Takana. Maskana says, no, we don't draw the line. At least according to Rabbi Avo, we don't draw the line there. And we don't make the Takana. That's one approach to understanding the Havmina and Maskana and Tosfos. Yeah. Ezra. Right. I don't know if you'd make halachic definitions that way, based on asking people on the street, necessarily.
The general definition of red, is it that it's 55% red, or is it
65%? I'll tell you, why would you say, I don't know, why would that be defined by people in the street? Why would you be defined by people in the street? It's a subjective understanding of what this is. And that subjective understanding could be understood differently by two tanoim.
Then how can everyone and Amor or whatever, or how can Risho comment on that, saying that I think this is the way to explain that, if he knows that that's a subjective thing.
He's saying, no, it's based on a Masorah. Usually that's what it means. It means the Masorah that I have, the way that I understood my Masorah from my Rebbeim, the difference between blue and green that I have to check to see what time it is to see that I can put on tzitzis in the morning, is it has to be this amount of blue. It has to be this amount of red. This amount of green. Okay? We have halachas of checking blood to see if it makes a person tamei or tar. Is this red? Is this brown? I'm telling you, we have fights about these things. This is even today. You don't understand all the cases, but even today, there are fights in halacha about these things. Is this red? Is this brown? There's a famous joke with a very chashuv posek from Eretz Yisrael, of Yaakov Yisrael Fisher, that he was once caught going through a red light by a policeman. And because he was one of these people who had to paskin on dam, whether it's red, whether it's brown, so when the policeman stopped him, he said, "Please, I understand, I looked at it light also, I think it's brown. I paskined it's brown." You know, so you can't say I went through a red light. I didn't, I went through a brown light. Okay, it's a joke. He may have said it, I don't know, but if he did, he probably got arrested. You know? So that's the idea. It's not a matter of what people think. It's a matter based on the Masorah that each of these Tanoim had with as much Yerushimayim as they had and Anivas that they had. Each one heard from the Rebbe. And you have two people looking at the same thing and having a machlokas, what it is. Again, we're dealing with people who are humble. But each one correct thinks that they're more correct than their Masorah. That's correct. Right? No. It doesn't work that way. One person could say race, and the other one will say it's not blood and mutter. Yeah, it could be a very practical difference.
But if you have one person can't think that he's more right than the other, it seems like it's not a
good yeah. No. Yeah, they do. Absolutely. You have to stand firm by your Masorah. Yeah, I'm not sure how far we believe in the concept of how dangerous is this to say? It's recorded good. Of what's the word? Everybody's right. Everybody's not majority rule, the opposite of that. It's a liberal concept, but it's tolerance. I have to be tolerant of all the halachic opinions. If I paskin puzzle, it's puzzle. I'm not tolerant of the binnens as kosher. If tolerance means I have to be nice to the other person, yes. But I'm not going to be tolerant of their opinion. It's wrong. Okay, that's elu ve'elu divrei Elokim chayim. But you still have to paskin. That's Elu. There's a machlokas mechaber Ramo. I follow the Ramo. Why? My tradition as an Ashkenazi is to follow the Ramo. It doesn't mean the mechaber is wrong. That's what you mean, right? But I can't do it, mechaber. I won't be Yotze.
Right, but I mean, if you really think about it, you might find a reason why you think the mechaber could be wrong.
You still have to follow your Masorah. You're allowed to pupil within the Shita and the Rishonim that say not like the way you learn or the way you do learn. That's a matter of trying to learn. But in terms of Psak, even in something like, yeah. Yeah. Beishav and Beisela argued which way to light the menorah. Up or down, right? 8-1 or 1-8. If you did it the other way, you were not Yotze. Right? You were not Yotze. Do you think Beis Hillel thought Beis Shammai were a bunch of fools? Chas v'shalom. They always let them answer first. What's the halacha? Beis Shammai said this, Beis Hillel said that. But they were wrong from a halachic perspective. That means there's some truth objectively to each one, like what you're arguing. But halacha l'maisa, we have to pass like Beis Hillel. And if you do it Beis Shammai, you're not Yotze. Even b'dieved. You're Yotze because as long as there's one, you're Yotze in Hanukkah candles. But you're not Yotze in the Mahadran and the Mahadran. Okay? A couple more questions, and I'm going to try to take a break. Yes?
Just to this out, like, nerd, like, maybe I agree with everybody about, like what we learned before in Makos on Hamad Aleph, that that basically, like, oh, yeah, like, he might have, like, a really, really fast camel, and maybe be able to make it from Syria to, oh, we can't go by the general opinion, we have to just, we can't just go by the random case, we have to go by the general opinion. So the same thing over here about how, like, you can't necessarily pass him based on 10%, it's not enough to say, like, it's such, like, a random case that we can't...
Right! This type of thing will be done in a Havamina Maskana and a Gemara like that also. The Havamina will say, are we Choshesh for miraculous travels? The Maskana is, we're not Choshesh for miraculous travels. But there's no change in the Metzias from the Havamina to the Maskana whether or not miraculous traveling exists or not. That's exactly the idea. Okay? Yes? Yeah, that's correct. That's correct. We don't see that in the words. It's because of the fact that within the words, it's impossible to understand the change in Metzias between the Havamina and Maskana. So those type of things indicate that there must be a two-force idea going on in the head, which we know there really is. There's the force of these people won't go to Mumchen versus the force they will go to Mumchen. Both of those exist. It's not going to be Farish in the Tosis that there's a percentage. Correct. It's the only way to understand Shaykh L'Meichash, not Shaykh L'Meichash. For what? There's got to be percentages going on. That's one approach that's used to explain these type of situations.
Do you think, though, that, like, let's say that there were, like, less Jews in the world, or just, like, less Orthodox Jews, and if you became even harder to find Mumchen, we would maybe change the halakha,
I'm not sure. I'm not sure why that would... it could be. It could be that if it's absolutely impossible to find Mumchen, then maybe the halacha would change. I can hear that. Especially to Tikkunos Chachamim, it's possible. No. What do you mean? No, you have to know the Metzias, but the Metzias didn't change from the Kashrut Tosfos to the Teretz Tosfos. That's the idea. You gotta know the facts that exist throughout the Tosfos. But you're asking a different question. You're asking a different question. What happens if the Metzias changes, and then how do we have to deal with such a situation? If the Metzias changes, then the Gedolim of the time have to decide something changed, and there might be a need to establish Takana, if necessary. Definitely could happen. Okay, there is a second approach to this that I'm going to try to say quickly and give you a little bit of a break. The second approach is a little bit along the lines of what Zachary was suggesting. Let me first read the next answer in Tosfos, which is shocking. What Tosfos says, "V'odi yesh lomar, t'gzev drish v'chakira." The gzevos v'chavolos also need drish v'chakira. V'lomar matinon el hodolos v'alvos. All that's excluded through the brisa of Rabbi Chanina is hodolos v'alvos for the sake of Mumchen, for the sake of Drish V'Hakira. Tosis is Odi Shlomar, does a complete about face. And he says the whole thing is just not true. By all these cases of Gzeilus and Chavalus, we do not have a Takana Mishum Tinal Delis Bifnei Gazlanim. Not for Drish V'Hakira, and not for Gzeilus and Chavalus. Unbelievable. So we need to understand within Tosfos, we need to understand what changed from the Havamina to his V'od Yesh Lomar's Maskana. There's a lot that seems to have changed here. And secondly, what's the machlokas between the V'Yesh Lomar and the V'od Yesh Lomar? Why do they disagree with each other? Which basically realizes the same question. You realize it's really the same question? Because whatever that Havamina was that in V'od Yesh Lomar changed remained true in the V'Yesh Lomar. So the V'Yesh Lomar had certain assumptions that the Havamina Tosfos held. V'od Yesh Lomar says, no, I'm going back on the whole thing. So what is that Havamina and what is that Maskana is almost the same as asking what's the Machlokas between the two Deis and Tosfos. And different Sfarim ask it in different ways. What can I tell you? Even on this Tosfos itself, some want to know what's the Machlokas, And so I want to know, what was the Havamina Maskana within the Vavodiyah Shlomer? It depends mostly on your style and whatever yeshiva you're in and what type of questions your yeshiva likes to ask. Different yeshivas likes to ask it one way, different ones like to ask it a different way. Either way, it lends itself to a deeper understanding Tosfos. And the suggestion that we'd like to make is along the lines of what Zachary said. Almost exactly what Zachary said. The Shaila is whether the two takanos, namely the takana about drish v'chakira, removing it, and the takana mumchen, are they two separate, independent takanas, both mishum ne'ilas delas? There's one takana not to require drish v'chakira. There's another not to require mumchen. Two separate independent takanas. Or is it one takana? When the takana is made, that has to affect all or nothing. It's got to affect Drish Vakira and Gezeres Chavalos, or neither Drish v'Chakira nor Gzeles v'Chavalos. So again, is it that these two takanas, the takana that we remove mumchen, Kadesh Tinol Delas Mifnei Gazlanim, is one takana. The takana that we remove Chakira, Kadesh Tinol Delas Mifnei Gazlanim, is the second takana. Or are these one takana, Kadesh Tinol Delas Mifnei Gazlanim, we do both, remove Drish v'Chakira and Gzeles v'Chavalos, or we do neither? And we have Drish v'Chakira and Gzeles v'Chavalos. Fit that back into Tosfos. And it goes as follows. If I had more time, I'd actually ask you to try to spell it out, which means that it would take another 20 minutes, but I would like to do the Shmuz of Vayishlach. So I'll spell it out for you, and you'll chazer. You'll chazer. And hopefully in Bekias, you'll also get to the Mishnah on Chesem and Beis. Okay, we got almost there. Didn't get all the way there. But we'll get, hopefully, to Chesem and Beis. So you have a little bit to learn over Shabbos. There are no quizzes on Monday. No quizzes on Monday. But this is at least, unless you have other things you were planning on learning already, this will give you a little bit, something to learn over Shabbos, okay? Over Thursday, Friday, Shabbos, Sunday, learn a little. Every day we should learn. I used to make incentives. I realized the incentives are only working for the ones who are going to learn anyway. So I stopped. Yeah, it only works for the guys who do it anyway. If they're not going to do it, and you know, it's often the guys who don't do it, the ones who need the points. I would give points on Bechinas. And I would say, it would be on the Bechina you just took, and they already know how badly they did, and they really want the point. It still doesn't help. No, because I know that people need a break also. People need a break. And sometimes they appreciate having... This is just Chazar. If you can Chazar, you should. So let's apply it as follows. The Havamina of Tosfos understood that the two takanas go hand in hand. Shetinol deles bifnei gazlonim. We should apply the takana by both. That's what Tosfos asked. Just like you have the svara that applies this takana mishum nilas deles bifnei gazlonim to gira, it should apply also to mumchen. We should not require mumchen. We should have no drish v'chakira and no mumchen. It's one takana. It's got to go hand in hand. Answers Tosfos, this is exactly what Zachary said. Answer number one, no. They're two separate takanas. And since there are two separate takanas, we will only apply the takana where it makes sense to, and it makes sense to apply it to remove Drish v'Chakira, because Drish v'Chakira, the Gazlan knows, I'm going to get away with it if there's Drish v'Chakira. While by Mumchen, we will not apply the takana. Because the Gazlan knows he won't get away with it any more or less because of Mumchen. It's possible to do that because there are two separate takanas, Mishun Nilas Delas, Mifnei Gazlanim. One for Drish v'Chakira, one for Gzeles v'Chavalos. Since they're separate, it's possible to use this svara. So the Havamina didn't think it was possible. The Havamina and the Gatos didn't think it was possible. They have to go together. The Yesh Lama split the Lamdas. These are two separate takanas. They don't have to go hand in hand. So it's possible to use the metzias that we always knew to make that chilek. The Odia Shlomar, I don't hold that it's two separate takanas. I, Odia Shlomar, hold it's one takana. But since it's all or nothing, it's nothing. We don't have the takana by Drish v'Chakira. We don't have the takana by Mumchin. You read Rebbe Chanina's statement only as a gzera for hodos v'halvos, period. Nothing to exil. It's no simon for all other types of cases of mammon. That diag and dini mammon. That's lav dafka means hodos v'halvos. Don't say there's latino does me love and is revealing icebergs. And no. None of it's true. It's one takana, and since you can't, according to Rabbi Avo, apply this takana by Mumchen, you don't apply it to Jewish Hakira as well. And that's all. Very lumdish way to understand the Shakla Vitaria of the Tosas. So you have one approach, it's more of a percentage approach. I wouldn't call it Mamish Balabatish. Not completely, because it's somewhat complex, but it's not abstract, so it's not mamish balabatish, but it's better. Rabbi Parnas used to use these all the time, I can tell you. He didn't like balabatish ideas, but it's used, these ideas are used, but a more lumdish approach is whether it's one takana or two takanas. If you look at the Hadam Megillani sheets, we don't have exactly that type of thing. That would be somewhere between Kloli and Prati, that a type of hakira, general. Is it a general takana or shatil delos b'fek azlanim, which you can't split because it's one general takana, or are they prati, two individual takanas, and therefore they can run under different rules like we have in the V'yesh Lomar? Okay? Questions. You asked a lot of questions already today. I'll take two questions, and then, you know something? It's 11 o'clock. Let's take a 10-minute break. Please come back. We're going to have the shmooze afterwards. Close your gemaras. Get your fiskabaros. I'll take your questions, but we'll hold it here.